In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's Holy Mass, in honor of our Blessed Mother Mary, on Saturday, we are reflecting, praying on this important message, truth of faith. Our Lady is ever virgin. In the Alleluia and in the gradual of this Mass, we have acclaimed this important truth of faith. Our Lady, without knowing a man, has conceived the Son of God. Without any human concourse, she conceived the divine Word in her womb, and she gave birth, remaining ever virgin. This is a dogma of faith. We believe that Our Lady is virgin before conceiving Jesus. So during Jesus' conception, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who overshadowed her. Then she is virgin during the birth of our Lord. This is, of course, a miraculous birth, but it is virginal. Jesus came out of her womb without touching it. And Our Lady is virgin after the birth of our Lord. She remained ever virgin. In a concise title, we believe that Our Lady is perpetually virgin. We believe in Our Lady's perpetual virginity. In the office, the breviary that priests and religious today pray in honor of our Blessed Mother Mary on Saturday, there is a beautiful reading appointed for the month of February. And this reading is taken from the book of Saint Jerome, a priest against Jovinian. Jovinian was a monk living in Rome, 4th century, who was actually denying that Our Lady was virgin. Virgin, especially after the birth of our Lord. Saint Jerome is responding to this heretic, and he is proving with the scriptures, with the tradition, up to his time, that Our Lady is ever virgin. And in one section of this beautiful response to Jovinian, we read in today's office breviary a beautiful passage. Saint Jerome starts with Our Lady as the Mother of Christ, and since Christ is a virgin, the Mother is a virgin too. The Mother of Christ remained forever a virgin. Virgin and Mother. And this in order to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. A virgin. So that quality remains, though Our Lady is conceiving and bearing a son. For Jesus, Saint Jerome continues, entered the world as he entered the upper room. During his apparition after the resurrection, the doors being closed, and in his sepulchre, which had been hewn out of hard rock, no one had yet been laid, nor was anyone else ever laid in it afterwards. It's a beautiful comparison. Our Lady's perpetual integral virginity can be compared to two things in the New Testament, two symbols. The first, the doors being closed of the upper room where the apostles were gathered after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus went in without touching the door, going through the door. And Jesus, another beautiful image of Our Lady's integral perpetual virginity, according to Saint Jerome, is the sepulchre where Jesus was laid. That sepulchre was new. We know from the Gospel, new, never touched, and no one was ever buried in that sepulchre yet. Jesus is the first. Jesus is the firstborn of Our Lady's integral, perpetual virginity. An enclosed garden, a fountain sealed, was Mary. And this perpetual virginity is, as we said, prefigured, symbolized in these two important images. Consequently, if we hold to Our Lady's perpetual virginity fast, we still and without any doubt believe that Jesus is truly risen from the dead. We have to keep this always close to each other. Our Lady's perpetual virginity is already foretelling us that Jesus would rise from the dead, from His new sepulchre. If we keep that initial truth, Our Lady's virgin, in order to give birth to Jesus, we stick also to the fact, the truth of faith, that Jesus is risen. He rose from the dead. He rose from that sepulchre. So that sepulchre is the image of Our Lady's integral virginity. Finally, there is another beautiful image by which Saint Jerome describes Our Lady's virginity. And this is taken from the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel speaks of a door in the temple of Jerusalem looking at east, which remained always closed, because through that door the Lord of heaven had passed. So no one, even the priest, could go through that door, because that was the entrance door of God into His temple. The door was at east, facing east, with the rising sun. So this is very symbolic. Saint Jerome applies this symbolism to Our Lady. That door of the temple through which the Lord of hosts had passed is Our Lady's virginity, always closed, but letting only God in and out, as the door of the temple of Jerusalem. We can read what Saint Jerome says. Ezekiel speaks always of a door always closed and luminous, whether concealing in itself or bringing forth from itself the Holy of Holies. She, Mary, is the gate through which the Son of Justice and our High Priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, goes in and out. Another beautiful feature. The door was the door of the temple, so the door was concealing the holiest place of the temple, the Holy of Holies. That is the reason why no one could go through unless God Himself would have passed through that door. But Jesus is the High Priest. Jesus is the one who is allowed to go through that door, to come into His new temple. This new temple is the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The High Priest became such in Our Lady's womb, in His incarnation. So that sealed womb is the true door of the temple of God, where Jesus came to be ordained as the High Priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. There are some fathers of the Church describing Our Lady's womb also as the temple where Jesus was ordained priest, the temple where Jesus became man, and in his incarnation there is the beginning of his priestly ministry. And this is again possible because of Our Lady's perpetual virginity. You see, her virginity is like a seal on Jesus' mystery. If we keep that safe, if we keep that key very well safeguarded, we acknowledge the mystery of Christ. We keep the mystery of Christ always safe, and we stick to it according to the tradition of the Church. Finally, the Holy Gospel of this Mass might a little bit disturb, because we said that Our Lady's womb is that sanctuary where God became man. But in the Gospel, you might remember what we read, a lady from the crowd was praising Jesus. Blessed that womb that bore thee. But Jesus in reply says, no. Blessed are those who listen to me and do God's will. So, Our Lady's womb is no longer important? It seems so. And Protestants try to water down this Marian gospel, seeing only an anti-Marian interpretation. But it is not about turning Our Lady's down according to this gospel. Jesus is instead pointing to something higher. Our Lady is blessed not only for bearing Jesus, for conceiving Jesus physically and bearing him physically, but she is much more blessed for having listened to God and having done God's will. So Our Lady is double blessed. She in fact first heard the word in with her obedience, her mind, her heart, and finally that word became flesh. So the mystery of Our Lady's perpetual integrity, virginity, begins with her obedience to God, with her soul, with her way to be always listening to God. So Our Lady is blessed. And among those who are blessed because they do God's will, there is, firstly, our Blessed Mother Mary, who did God's will. And because of that, she was able to conceive by the Holy Spirit, to give birth by the Holy Spirit, to preserve her integral virginity by always the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. So we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, we pray to her that this important virtue in our Christian life may always be kept safe. Virginity, chastity, as a way to please God and to respect our own body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.